Before I start preaching, I will say this to you. I've been reading, I have a guys group that I meet with, and we're in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to say I'm launching a Proverbs series. I'm just going to simply say I may be in Proverbs, but I'm not going to commit to anything yet. I'm really tired. I don't know what I'm committing to yet, but I'm going to be preaching today on Proverbs. I have a great devotion that I've been in, and I used it as an awesome resource this week. Timothy Keller is probably my favorite writer, author, pastor, professor. He's just incredibly engaging, and him and his wife came together and made a devotion on Proverbs. I was in this book before we ever decided to do Proverbs as a group, and so currently I'm just going to spend some time in Proverbs because I got to tell you something, I'm not the wisest person and I want to be wise. So I got a new child and I want to be wise, I want to grow in wisdom, and so Proverbs is all about wisdom. I will warn you now, there's going to be some stepping on toes today because we're going to talk about fools. And I want to be honest, the biggest thing that's happened as a head pastor and seeing the mess of people, we are fools. I don't care if you love Jesus and you've loved Jesus your whole life. We are the foolish people. Now, some of the stuff that people fight about in church is like, what? Like, it's crazy. It's nuts because we're a bunch of foolish people. So I was going to come up and say, you a fool, you a fool, you a fool. I'm not going to do that. I'm a fool. I'm not going to do that. I just kind of did it. But we're foolish people. And I want to say this, that Jesus, one of the hardest parts about being a head pastor, the biggest transition for me, I've been in ministry 10 years before I became a head pastor. The biggest change is now I'm aware of all the stuff that's going on in people's life. Before I knew what was going on with kids, I knew some things from kids' angle, family-wise. Now I'm like aware of it all. And good night. I don't get why Christians don't come Sunday morning begging God, we need you. Because the stuff that, I mean, just today, cancer, drugs, people going to rehab, families on the brink of divorce, like people that you love and you poured into and they're leaving. Even though you poured into, you're like, why are they choosing this decision? You can't do anything. We are messy people. And the weight, I feel that weight sometimes. And it's just like, what do you do? Yet sometimes the biggest problem is, what can you do? You can only do so much, right? But a lot of you come in with so much weightiness. We need God. And what I want to say today is when you start talking about wisdom, when you start looking at wisdom, what you find out is some of our problems are self-inflicted because we choose foolish decisions. And here's the thing. I'm going to say this, my main sermon point. If you hear nothing else today, as we talk about five different foolish people in the book of Proverbs, there's probably more. I just had five and I had two pages. So once I finish two pages, I stop typing. So here's the thing. It's not your cognitive ability. Wisdom has to do with your attitude. That's what I'm learning as I'm studying Proverbs, is it has to do with your attitude is the reason you're wise or not wise. Your attitude. And what does Jesus teach? We did a whole Sermon on the Mount. We spent time looking at Jesus' core teachings, the core things he preached, the core things he said. And what he did, he said, let's get past the surfacey because I'm after your heart. The issue is your heart. And he says that. He proclaims that. And so, hey, it's not about murder. It's about hate. And he says, when you hate, you already commit murder. Right? He gets to the heart level. Why did you ever murder? Because you had hate in your heart. That's why you eventually murdered. It's not about murder. It's about your heart. Lust. It's not about the actual act of cheating on your spouse. He says, it's about the heart. You're choosing lust. And that's the sin. And Jesus says, we're not going to talk about, like, let's have the black and white and how far can I go? Like, Jesus says, no. The issue is your heart. You're this way because it's a heart issue. And Jesus calls that out. He go down the line. Why don't you give? Because you're wrapped up in your own life. You don't want to give. My money's my money. And God says, give. And people get so offended. Why pray? Why pray? Jesus says, when you pray, Father, who do you address first? First thing you say, Father in heaven. The point of prayer is you are dependent on God. Prayer opens your mentality of, I already know this, but now I'm saying to God how dependent I am on you. Like, I need you. Don't wait for a tragedy for God to have to teach you that. Start praying dependently every day. Amen? So, Ben, just start your sermon. I'm just simply saying to you, I feel a weight. There's a lot of people coming in with lots of broken stuff. And it's hard because, you know, every different tragedy deserves a much further conversation. 5 seconds, you know, 5 seconds here, 5 seconds here, 5 seconds. I hate that. But the reality is, here's the deal. A lot of us need to, today, when we study this scripture, let's be self-aware enough to say, God, you know what? Some of my problems in my life are because I'm a foolish person. And there's some areas of my attitude that needs to change. And if my attitude doesn't change, I'm not going to have better relationships. I'm going to keep having the same problems. Because I'm a foolish person. And Proverbs calls us out and he says, here's the difference between a wise person and a foolish person. And here's some symptoms of people who are foolish. And he calls us to be different, to change. And God's word, listen, if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you, you can change. Things can be different. You can start becoming self-aware of your foolishness. But if you walk in, Pastor, I'm perfect. Well, who cares? Jesus could preach and he ain't going to change. Amen? So here we go. We're going to look at the book of Proverbs. And we're going to start, even though this is not going to be the text that we start. Let's just start the beginning of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It will be behind me. But what's the point of Proverbs? He spells it out in chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing. Let's stop. Do you want instruction? Right? If you don't want instruction, what's the point? You can't go any further. But that's what the book, this is the purpose of Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in which regards? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, Proverbs is going to teach us, if you're to be wise, you need to understand what righteousness really is. Not your version of righteousness, God's version of righteousness. God picks what's righteous, not you. And Proverbs is going to say a foolish person chooses their version of righteousness. Proverbs says, this is righteousness. And a wise person pursues that. Because chapter verse 7 is going to say the beginning of all wisdom is fear of God. Right? If you don't fear God, then what's the point of anything? You're not going to listen to anything. You have no basis of a fear of God. And so you're not going to listen. But the purpose of Proverbs is instruction in righteousness, justice. What is justice? Some of us, we have a lot of opinions. If I say the word social injustice, some people are going to get upset because they think I'm democratic because I say that word. No, this is biblical terms. Social injustice. Justice. There's issues of social problems in our community, and God's people should care about justice. And Proverbs is going to tell us what are just situations. What is justice? I'm going to teach you. That's what Proverbs is going to instruct us towards. Not our version of justice, God's version of justice. Finally, an equity, fairness. Fairness. What is fairness? Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Notice he begins with, let the wise hear and increase in learning. Right? Some of you are like, I'm wise. Good. So increase. Increase in knowledge and knowing God. Great. Some of us, listen, we're fools, and I want to say this. If we're foolish in an aspect, know this. Proverbs, through the whole book, the whole point of teaching is for change, right? The whole point of instruction and wisdom is that you don't have to keep being foolish, right? So the wise can increase in knowledge, right? You can be in church for 30 years. You still need to be here, amen? And you could be someone who's a foolish person. Don't get down on yourself. Change. Like, your choices can change, and you will have a different outlook in life because you'll be wiser. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools, listen, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Some of you, your hearts are going to check out. The second I start talking about something and it applies to your life, you're going to be like, nope, don't want to hear it. Fool. Because you despise wisdom, you despise instruction, so your life is never going to change because you've chosen to be a fool. And that foolish, I guess it's a cuss word, I don't know, it's not a cuss word to me, fool. You're a fool. Proverbs says you're a fool. You don't want instruction, you don't want your life to change, you want to blame everybody else for your problems, but how about you get wiser? Your life might be different. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hey, listen, some of you have come to church. Do you despise hearing the word of God? I try my best not to. I think I do a good job of putting a lot of scripture, too much scripture possibly, in one setting. But what I try to do, if I say something, I try to show you because the Bible said it. Over and it's not big. Who cares what I think? Here's what the Bible teaches. Amen? So here's the deal. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But he says, let the wise hear and increase in learning. Do you want to increase in learning or are you going to continue to be foolish? That's the premise. So what's the point of reading Proverbs any further? It starts with the heart. It starts with the attitude. Because what I'm going to say to you, it's not about cognitive ability. It's not about how smart you are and how ability you are to know things. Everything is going to be led by your attitude. Do you want to grow? Do you want to be wise? Do you fear God? And by fear, I want to say this. People get weird about the word fear. I remember an Oprah special about, like, this is the problem. God wants me to fear her. She has a problem with God because of that. Fear is not, like, terrified. It's an awe. It's a healthy awe. So let me change the word from fear to awe. When I look at a mountain, when I look at an ocean, when I saw my baby come out and I could do nothing about this experience to help it or change anything, you know what happens in my heart? Awe. How small am I? In the presence of the Almighty, how small is Ben Rosenberger? Pretty small. That's what fear of the Lord means. You fear God because you're in awe of him. You understand who he is and who you are in comparison to him. And you know what? The only wise response is, I fear you, God. I don't mean I'm terrified. I have a great relationship with God. I love God. I'm here worshiping, choosing to do this. It's not fear and tremble. It's awe. Are you in awe of God? So that begins the problem. If you're in awe of God, you will want to grow and increase in wisdom and be wise. But if there's no awe, you're not going to listen to anything. And it's because of you're a foolish person. So with that said, Proverbs points out specifically five things. I love it. Verse 22 kind of steps on toes and points out three right away in chapter 1. But I want to start with this. Timothy Keller says this. This is his definition of wisdom. To become wise is to become a disciplined person, given not to impulsiveness, but to self-examination. I want to pause there. Like, Timothy Keller, I have to do this. I have to pause because it's so much truth in statements that he makes. Not given in to impulsiveness, but to self-examination. Let's be honest. Only you can answer this. Do you have a lot of impulsiveness? A lot of the things you do that are sin or wrong or decisions continue to make mistakes after mistakes, is it because of impulsiveness? And are you willing to have self-examination? Because wisdom says this, impulsiveness is going to lead you to all sorts of sin because you're full of flesh, right? Self-examination says, okay, I recognize I have a problem. So the wise person says, I have a problem. The delusional person says, I don't have a problem, and acts like it doesn't exist. Amen? Impulsiveness. But rather, to be wise, you're self-examining. You recognize the problem. You're not going to blame anybody else. You know the problems. You know what you're doing. That's a wise person. Does that make sense? To caution is really the better word, and to clear thinking. It is to become a resilient person who through hard knocks has become poised and resourceful. As an athlete becomes physically competent only after rigorous training, so wisdom is hard won. Please don't miss that. Much of our problems in life, our hardships in life, is so that we can grow and be what? Wise. Many of us go through hard times and we're like, why God? And God's already told us through James. And I'm trying to help you grow. Let me tell you something about marriage. You want to go to marriage counseling? If the person in marriage counseling doesn't begin with this statement, they're not going to help you. Marriage is hard. You know why? Because marriage is the greatest thing in your entire life that's going to change you. If done rightly, someone fully knows you. You can kid everybody all day long. Your wife and your husband know you, right? All your good, all your bad, all the personas, they know everything. That's why they could say something to hurt you like nobody else. And that's why marriage can be the worst thing if it's not godly. If it's not an ever-changing, if I'm supposed to help you, you're supposed to help me, we're going to grow, we're going to be better, we're going to better each other. That's what marriage is supposed to be. It's the greatest sanctifying thing in your life. Marriage. That's what marriage is. But people who go into marriage selfishly, this is why I will not marry somebody without counseling. Because I want to say, you're selfish, you're selfish. You're both going to walk in with all selfishness, and you better have something at the center that's changing you. Because if God's not at the center that's going to change you, if you're not self-aware that you are selfish, it's going to be a disaster. Amen? It's true. So as we look at this passage, he's going to point out a couple things to us. At the end of the day, life is hard. We go through challenges, we go through things, and those things are meant to help us be wiser. I hope that you go through tragedy and you're wiser now because of the tragedy. Not the, I went through the tragedy and now I'm just depressed. Tragedy, hardships, they make you wiser. They can. And it's a hard knock life that makes you better. And so Proverbs 1:22 says this, how long, O simple one, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? This verse points out three different specific foolish people. Simple ones who love being simple. And I'm going to explain what that means. Scoffers who delight in their scoffing. You can supplement scoffers for mockers. Mockers. Fools who hate knowledge. So, again, I already said this. I want to say it again. It all starts with, it's not cognitive. It's not your capacity of learning. It's your attitude. Whether you want to be wise or not wise has everything to do with your attitude. So here we go. Number one thing that's mentioned is the simple's main issue. It's gullibility. It's gullibility. And I want to say this gently because I'm telling you right now, I've been around this church long enough, every one of these three apply to us. Been around us, seen the issues, and I'm telling you right now, some of us are absolutely simple-minded and we're gullible. And we let our flesh lead us into being unwise because we're very gullible. We're very simple. And this is a problem. It's an unwise thing, and it creates all sorts of havoc because of this reality. And you're unwise when you're gullible, when you believe anything anyone wants to say. And they're dramatic, and they have problems. They always have problems with everybody, and you believe everything they say. Gullible. Amen? It's foolishness, according to Proverbs. It's a foolish person. So Proverbs 14:15 says this, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. This type of foolish person, and I'm just going to describe some typical gullible people. A foolish person is too easily led and influenced by others. Like children, they are, it should have been T-O-O, but I misspelled that, too easily led astray. Oftentimes, folks like this get caught up in the dramatic, need approval too much, support dictator-type personalities who make false promises, are intellectually lazy, not designed to ponder or think out matters for themselves with facts and truths, but they just are lazy. And they believe whatever someone says because they don't want to think. They don't want to think through an issue or think through from a different lens. They just believe. They're gullible, right? And get caught up on things such as get-rich-quick schemes and cults and gossips. That's like the drastic angle, but people who will believe anything anyone says. If you're a persuasive person, I'm going to listen. It's a true problem. Gullibility. Gullibility. Not comfortable with yourself is what I would say. The biggest problem of the gullible person is you're not comfortable with yourself. You're not comfortable enough that if someone comes to you and they're persuasive and they're dramatic and they're gossipy and they're trying to get, and you're not comfortable enough to say, you know what? Like, I don't need this. Stop. I'm going to think for myself. I'm going to look through a different lens. I'm going to pursue, right? I'm not going to be intellectually lazy. You're saying this. Let me find out if this is true. I'm not just going to believe anything you say because you say it. Amen? Gullible people. When you see a group of people get around each other and a bunch of them are just gossiping and hate-filled, where's the person that says, you know what? This is what you're saying, but maybe you're not right. Like, why are you so hate-filled? Gullible. We want to believe this. We want others to be we like the drama. We like that stuff, right? We like that somebody else is going to say things that I'm not going to say, but you're saying it, so I'm just going to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who knows what we're saying? What kind of army are we actually in, right? Could be an absolutely divisive situation, but because you're gullible, you're just going along with it because my friend, right? Amen? This happens in God, this tears up churches worse than anything. Gullible people who think they're smarter than everybody. No, you're fools. You're a bunch of fools. When you're around and you believe anything that anyone says, no, think for yourself. Someone has a problem, think for yourself. Pursue information. Pursue facts. Don't just demonize a person. This is what we do in our culture. You just demonize. Don't demonize, right? Because to demonize is you are gullible. You will believe whatever anyone says. You don't want to pursue the facts. It's a foolish person. Amen? I told you there's going to be some stepping on toes because you may not be a totally foolish person, but maybe you do this at times. Maybe we do this at times, right? Pursue facts. Be a person that's not lazy intellectually. Not a person who wants to jump in on the demonizing. Don't do that. Don't be the, I want the flair of drama. I need drama. So I'm going to, don't be the gullible person who's looking for drama. So you find the person who's most drama and you're like, I like this person because they're all a drama. I didn't say it. They said it. No. You were there and you let it continue. You were gullible. Amen? So Proverbs calls this as a foolish person. This is a foolish person. Proverbs 12:11 says this, whoever works his hand will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. So a lot of times people can be worried about, you know, being sophisticated or well-educated. We have a desire to be around and to appear a certain way. When I think of this person, the biggest problem is, again, if I was to say anything to you, if you struggle with gullibility, it's because you're not comfortable with yourself. And that's the bigger source of the problem. You grow to be comfortable with who you are. And then you don't need the gullibility. You don't need to jump in on stuff. You don't need to attack. You don't need to think through those lenses. You just be you. Amen? Think for yourself. Don't let somebody else think for you. Think for yourself. Make decisions or conclusions based on your own thoughts, your own facts, your own research, your own believing ability. Don't be a gullible person. And don't demonize when you don't even know and you haven't done any research. You should be the last person to demonize somebody else because you're just believing what someone else says. And I'll say this right now. One of the things I loved about Ruby Roscoe, I witnessed it multiple times. She would hear gossip and she'd get up and walk out. And many of you experienced that. You're friends of Ruby Roscoe. She passed away. We just did her funeral. One of the greatest things I loved about her, my wife does this too. If you start gossiping, I'm walking out. I'm not going to be a part of that. You know why? Because she's going to think for herself. She's comfortable with herself, and I don't want to be a part of that. Whatever that drama is, whatever that, she's a wise person. She's not gullible. She's not going to let you persuade her towards another person based on your, whatever the issues are. Not a gullible person. It's called wisdom. Amen? So folks, as we leave this, I just want to say, because this tears up churches so bad. Gullible people, someone who has hate in their heart starts spewing and you're like, I'm not happy either, so I'm going to jump in on this. And a bunch of gullible people, let me tell you, a bunch of fools. That's what it is. It's not about God's kingdom. It's not about what we're supposed to be here for. It's gullible. It's foolishness. It's not wise. You may sound, may think in your mind, I'm so wise. No, you're not. You're gullible. If you're the person who's around it, you're gullible. So stop being gullible. Be wise. When you see it, just walk away from it. Don't be a part of it. Think for yourself. Don't be lazy intellectually. Find out for yourself. Make your own conclusions. Amen? Let's not be gullible people. So do you often seek approval from others too much? Find yourself intellectually impatient or lazy, not wanting to think things out fully, seeking to be around the dramatic or the gossips. Proverbs shows us that this is foolish and we need to pursue being wiser. The scoffer, number two, the scoffer's main issue, it's pretty simple, it's pride. And I want to say this, I'm going to say it again because I'm going to eventually read it and I'm just jumping ahead of myself. This is our culture right now. The mocker, right? Good. I can't pay attention to politics. I'm tired of the scoffer. I'm tired of the mockery. Everything's a mockery. Everything is, and this is not wise. The scoffer thinks he's wise. You're not wise. You're a fool. The mocker thinks they're wise, but they're not. And so what is the root of scoffiness? It's a foolishness. It's pride. It's unwilling to submit to anyone. Right? The Bible may tell you you need to submit, and we say, I submit to nobody. I'm wise. No, you're a fool. God sets up a system for your benefit that you would sit under. Right? Amen? It's true. And the person that will not submit to anybody is a fool. Right? They're wise in their own eyes. That means they're not wise. then they're scoffers. And they're probably the person that mocks everything and everyone. And they're the most divisive person. And here's the deal. The scoffer gets a seat of gullible people all around them. That's the problem. This is church problems 101. The mocker and a bunch of people that are gullible sit around there and they act that way. And you have a rare godly person that sees it and says, I'm out of here. But a lot of us, we like the dramatic. We like the problems. We're attracted to it, and we're all foolish when we do that. Amen? So the scoffer is a person whose pride in their own eyes, they won't submit to anyone. There is a smugness, know-it-all attitude. Are you a know-it-all? Are you always right? Do you listen to anybody? You're a scoffer. That's a sign of I have some scoffing. I have some mockery in me. I'm always right. Do you like listening to podcasts that agree with you? Right? This viewpoint I agree with, so I'm going to be excited about it so I can mock others all the more because I'm right. Because you're a know-it-all. It's unwise to be a know-it-all because you can never learn. You can never hear. There's no Here's the problem in our country. Nobody can talk. There is no dialogue. There's nothing but demonizing anybody for any other opinion. Welcome to the new society. It's all demonizing everyone who has a different opinion. And a bunch of know-it-alls that are mockers. And I'm going to tell you, Proverbs says, that's a foolish thing. Let me get a group of people around me. We think the same. You're all a bunch of fools. It's mockers. Scoffing. It's not wise. It's not wise. It's actually producing the problem, and it's getting worse. Right? Because I got a bunch of scoffers, and we all agree, and now we're going to get worse and worse and worse. Don't be mockers. Don't be scoffers. They will attempt to appear to most as wise in the eyes of the world and have a desire to appear sophisticated. The more literal word, I said work, I meant word, is delight, is to covet. A scoffer, a mocker, will often covet and crave mockery. They will listen to podcasts for the purpose of mockery. They want to be around people that are mockers. And I'm telling you right now, if this is you, if you struggle with this, I can't change you. But I'm telling you, you seek out people who make it worse. You listen to people. You pursue people that feed this unwise thing in you. And it gets worse. You get worse. Amen? It's true. This is truth. I know nobody wants to hear it. I'm just telling you the truth. We seek out mockers. And we live in a culture that's all we do. All we do is mock. Psalms 101, like the very first verse says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. We seek out sitting in a seat of a bunch of mockers. If this is you, you probably seek this. You probably have to somehow commit in your heart, you know, I'm a bit of a know-it-all. And whenever you disagree or we disagree, I can't just, there's no ability. Listen, a scoffer has no ability to say, let's agree to disagree. There's no ability to agree to disagree. Like, I disagree with you, but I love you, man. We good. No. A scoffer is, now I have to attack you verbally, make you look bad because you're a fool. Let me reverse that. You're the fool. Not the person who has an ability to hear you. We disagree. I'm going to walk away. The person that cannot do that is the fool. And it's a mocker. And you probably seek out. You probably listen. You probably are attracted to more mockers. And you're unwise, and you're going to continue to be unwise the more you're around that. You want to be wise? Be a person that can listen. Disagree. Agree to disagree. Respectfully. Lovingly. The foolish person can't do that. Amen? This is true. And I know this is like, woo, woo, woo. This is us right here. This is our nature. And what happens is we can get cynical, again, have cynical attitudes. We can be arrogant, and it can become a habitual behavior. So I encourage you, because this is the big outcome. I'm on the back page now. The big outcome, the big problem for this is it's a hardening of heart, and it's a poisonous relationship. A mocker is a poisonous person. They're poisonous. They can't stop but demonize everybody. They're right. Nobody else is right. They're the only right ones, right? And what happens is they have a hardened heart. And this is, I recognize these people, and they're the ones you can't talk any sense to. You can't say anything. There's nothing you can do. And that's why I say a wise person, it's not about your cognitive ability. It's not your learning power. It's your attitude. So if you are a know-it-all, I won't listen to anybody. I'm always right. If you struggle with that, guys, you are in danger of a hardened heart, and you're going to be a fool the rest of your life. And I hate it. I'm telling my whole church this. When you see it, I've been around these people. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do because they're always right. In fact, you have to learn how to have a conversation in such a way that I propped you up, make you feel right, make you feel like you're in the right just to get a conversation across. Like to get anywhere, I have to pretty much massage your ego to get you to listen and for me to have any kind of positive relationship because a mocker, that's the way they are. Amen? Fools, don't be foolish. The only way is you know in your heart, are you always right? Do you have to be right? Do you crave being right? Do you need to be right? Do you like putting yourself around people that are mockers? Do you like listening to people that have problems all the time? Some of us, man, we got boring lives and we seek out this stuff and you're foolish. And it can destroy churches, it can destroy families, it can destroy relationships. It's poisonous. It's a poisonous attitude. And it's not wise. You may think in your eyes you're wise, but you're actually foolish. A person that can't dialogue and agree to disagree and walk away. If you can't do that, right? How many conflicts have you had? How many times were you the one that could not agree? And it became personal. It became a massive problem. Your pride, that's the problem. Amen? Mockery, man, and it hardens your heart, and then you never change, and you're always right. Man, this is all over the place. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, to see through all things is the same as not to see. If you see things all correct, everything, right, every issue, you're right, you're a fool. If you're always right, let me just tell you right now, you're a fool. If you see all things, that means you see nothing. You see only what you want to see. Amen? I'm not saying this is easy. This is true. Jesus' example, Matthew 12, 19 through 20, says, he will not quarrel or cry out loud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice and victory. Jesus came. One of the great examples is, say this is you, if you're honest, you know, and I challenge you with this. Sometimes, man, we can't see anything. Ask your spouse, do you think I'm this person? Get ready for marriage counseling. And then you come to me, or we're going to talk about how you're supposed to be sanctifying each other. But sometimes, listen, if you're a mocker, if you're gullible, you're probably the last person to see it. Ask somebody else, is this me? Ask a friend that you trust, is this me? If you have this, even an inkling, this might be part of me. Ask somebody, what do you think? Could we be vulnerable as God's people? Isn't the pursuit supposed to be to grow and to be wise? You can't talk with your spouse or best friend about this, you're not going to change. It's true. So maybe ask others, like, is this an area of my life? If you have an inkling, do you want to be wise or do you want to continue to be foolish and think you're wise? Do you want to have poisonous relationships for the rest of your life or do you want to actually change to be wise? Amen? So I challenge you with that, but I say this, Jesus came, and his first time he came, he took it all. One of the greatest things that we have in our life is Jesus came. At any time, Jesus could have been like, angels, get them. He didn't do any of that, right? He got spit on. He got mocked. He had a bunch. Think about this. The whole time he's teaching these disciples. This is why I believe in the Bible more than anything. The disciples look like dummies, right? Talk about fools. The disciples are, how many times did Jesus say, I'm going to die? And they're like, what? What do you mean? Like, no, Jesus, we want to take over Rome. Like, they never get it. They don't look smart the whole time. And they're writing about how dumb they were, right? Isn't that amazing? Who does that? But they're self-aware of how foolish they were for years. And they know, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, some of us have the Holy Spirit, and yet we're still willing and choose to be foolish. And what we see in that text with Jesus is he chose to be spit on. He chose to be mocked. He chose that path for your salvation. Amen? So could we, even though in our heart we're mockers, could you humble yourself? You could and you should. A foolish person continues with their self and their flesh, and it gets worse, and it becomes more poisonous, and it becomes a harder heart. But the wise person sees that in themselves and says, God, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. I'm tired of fighting about, like, sometimes we fight and there's no logical conclusion. It's not going to go anywhere. We're fighting with someone who we disagree and we're going to keep fighting. Like, just stop. You agree? I agree different. I think things differently, but I love you. Let's walk away. Done with the conversation. We can't do that. Mockers can't do that. Got to start changing. It's not a wise thing. It's a foolish attribute. And it's something that is poisonous and you harden your own heart every time. So how often do we roll our eyes, dismiss someone, judge someone, even prejudge someone? I've already written you off because I had this thought in my head. How often do we do that? Let's be honest. How often have you already, because of the way someone's dressed, their age? I can't tell you how many people have assumed all sorts of things about me just because of my age since I've been here as the pastor of this church. It's dumb. Like, you don't know me. Why don't you ask me rather than judge me? Amen? So how often do we do that? We roll our eyes. We prejudge someone. Consider others unwise for seeing things differently than yourself. Right? Because we disagree. You must be dumb. How about we just disagree? I don't have to demonize you because we disagree. And there's some things, like, you know, sometimes I'm disagreeing because you are foolish, but I don't need to attack you. Just walk away. I disagree, right? Common exchange of ideas, and we don't agree, okay. Wouldn't our society be better for this? Yeah, we need this. Rather than being open to real dialogue, discussion, and attempting to understand, the point is that no matter how wise you may feel, you are in your own eyes a mocking attitude. A scoffer, according to Proverbs, is to be an unwise person. So folks, if you can't listen to anybody that disagrees with you, I don't know what to do in the culture that we live in. We have a culture of mockery. Everything on media is mockery. Everything on politics is mockery. We have a bunch of scoffers, and they're in the positions of authority, and they're the ones speaking to us. Please be different than them. Be different. Learn to dialogue. Stop demonizing. Realize you can have a conversation and disagree. And God bless you. Walk away. Say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to keep praying for you. I could pray for someone who I think is dumb. Amen? But at the end of the day, folks, like this one, man, this is, oh my goodness. My experience here for 2 years, I've seen this. Don't be a mocker. Don't contribute to being a mocker. Don't act that way. And I know everything in our society right now is doing this. And we have people that this is all they do. God's people, be different. God has called you to be different. Be a light to the world. Don't add to the mockery. Amen? Finally, the third thing in that verse, chapter 1, verse 22, is foolish people who hate knowledge. Stubborn. If I was to give you one word, stubborn. This is the most common word used through the book of Proverbs for fools. The main mark of these foolish people is that they are opinionated, wise in their own eyes, and unable to learn knowledge or be corrected because they're stubborn. And this is the most common usage of when Proverbs is calling someone foolish, the most often things is saying, you're foolish because you're stubborn. You won't listen. You can't learn. You can't be wrong. And so this is similar to the mocker, but it's different in that you may not necessarily attack people. You may not necessarily be a gossip or a drama person, but in your own heart, you don't listen to anything because you're right. You can't listen. So it's the same symptom of the same problem. So here ended up being a child psychologist says this, discovering that children are born with one of three basic temperaments and determining how they instinctively respond to difficulty. Some respond with anxiety and withdrawal, some with aggression and assertive action, and some with optimism and effort to win through being social and cordial. So here's a summary. Retreat, attack, a win through diplomacy. We have a natural instinct from birth to be this kind of people. We either are the normal retreat, we attack, or we win through diplomacy. That's the norm basics of children. And what the point of this is to say this. You're going to have a natural instinct. I'm a win through diplomacy person. So I put myself in a lot of bad positions because I'm around a bunch of mockers, a bunch of gullible people, a bunch of people attacking, and I'm trying to win you over. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to do the best I can do. But I'm not wise enough to recognize there's nothing I can do. Why am I even trying? Right? Some of us, conflict, done. I'm out of here. Right? We run. We flee. I don't want nothing to do with any conflict. I can't take it. Done. And some of us, we attack, right? You may find that person, you push them to that brink, and that person's, right? We have natural instincts as children, and the person who is more knowledgeable, willing, you don't handle every situation the same way. Does that make sense? Every situation shouldn't be the normal thing that you do. I should be able to, if I'm wise, I should be able to come into a situation, assess the situation, and based on the situation, react a certain way. Not the natural thing that normally I would do, because by instinct, this is who I am. I'm a flea, I'm an attack, or I'm going to win you through diplomacy. But sometimes you're in a situation and you need to pivot from what your natural reaction would be. And you can't act the way you want to act, or naturally you may have to be wise and say, okay, how I handle this situation has to be different than what I may naturally want to do, right? You're an attack person. Well, you put yourself around a bunch of attack people, it's not going to go well, right? You put two people that normally just walk away and you have a conflict, like that's not going to work, right? How do you handle, a wise person is able to come in and shift through their natural, what I would normally do. From instinct, from birth, this is what I would do. But in this situation, because I'm wise, I'm going to handle it differently. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to handle this differently than I may want to naturally do so. Does that make sense? So this is an area of being wise that from instinct, we would normally do something different. And so this is what Proverbs 22:15 says. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far away from him. That's the reason we discipline. Me and my wife, we don't agree on discipline. Who do you think I am? You think I'm the discipline guy or not discipline guy? Total discipline. I'm nuts about discipline. Total discipline. My wife is totally not disciplined. We fight all day long. He's like, it's a toddler. And I'm like, I don't care. I want the behavior to change, right? Like, let's do something about this. Not spank necessarily. My child, if he's like me, he'll laugh at you when you spank him. So like he's put him in a corner and oh my God, be still. What do you, yeah, that's what my dad did, and it worked better for me. Put me in a corner for 10 minutes, do nothing. Woo! That you can spank me all day long. That's what works for me, right? Or weeding. Weeding did quite a bit, and I broke that window. We can talk about that later. But, okay. But here's the thing, guys. Discipline matters. And what are we doing with this? We're trying to correct behavior. We're trying to teach, right? You're naturally wanting to do this, and I'm trying to make you do this because at the end of the day, right, children don't understand. They think you're just beating them. You're being mean to them. What are we actually trying to do? Correct behavior, right? A good parent disciplines. God says, if I don't, right? What does God say to us? If I love you, I will do what? Discipline you. Some of our hardships in our life might actually be godly discipline. And we turn it around as, God, where are you? And God's like, I'm disciplining you because I'm after your heart. Amen? I love my son. He is a terror right now. The most unloving thing would be for me to, because I'm tired and I have no sleep, is to look at my son and do whatever you want, man. Like, that's not love, right? That's lazy. That's I don't care. I don't care about your behavior that I need to shift and change. Amen? And I'm creating a system of a child who will not be instructed, will not learn. We're not listening to anybody because they're wise in their own eyes. Some of us, let's be honest, we may have been disciplined as kids, but we've gotten to a place that we don't listen to anybody, right? How many got uncomfortable when I said, talk to your spouse, right? Talk to your best friend. We don't want anyone to instruct us. We don't want anyone to speak truth into our lives. We run from community, yet we have a whole ministry called community groups for the purpose of being in each other's life. We have, as a men's ministry, the first thing I wanted to do as a men's ministry is get smaller as men so we can be eventually honest and be real so we can actually do what? Change, right? I can preach all day long, but I can't ask you questions. I can't get into your heart. I can't ask, hey, do you struggle with mockery? I can't do that from a stage. But if I got to be with you one-on-one, if I got to know you and you trusted me, you could say, man, that's me a little bit. And I could love you enough to be more accountable. Well, hey, man, let's work on it. What's some scenarios? How can you handle it better? We can actually do ministry instead of being preached at, right? Folks, I encourage you, we need to revert back to, if you want to be a wise person, you need to want knowledge. You need to let people speak truth into you. You need to let God's word, as again, his Timothy Keller's first just description of wisdom, It's the person that's not going to just do whatever they want impulsively, right? Person who's going to say, God, I'm going to let you speak to me honestly. A wise person listens. A wise person is willing to change, right? A wise person isn't blaming everybody else. Stop. What does that do? Nothing. A wise person says, okay, I need to change my life. I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to start accepting, why am I in the situation I'm in? Because of decisions I've made. I'm in control of my life, and I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. I'm going to listen. I'm going to actually let people speak truth, and I'm going to be different because I'm listening to other people. In my own eyes, I know I'm messed up, and I know I'm foolish, but I'm going to actually try to be different. That's a wise person. A foolish person, nobody can say a word to you. And in your eyes, you're wise. You are a fool. You think you're wise. I'm sorry. You're probably a mocker. You're probably one of the fools. But as God's people, we let truth speak. We let the Holy Spirit move in us. We let people like our loved ones say things in our life, and we don't get offensive, right? You, how dare you attack me? No, someone might be just trying to help you. And we get all upset, right? Because we're foolish every time. Listen, every time you get upset because someone's trying to speak truth in your life, you are foolish. The wise person listens. Even if someone's saying something, listen, I want to be honest with you. Even if someone is saying something to you that's not true, if you want to be wise, you listen anyways. Because here's the deal. You can glean something. I've learned this in life. You can glean something, even with the worst heart, the worst attack, the worst assault, whatever they might say, you can glean something from that. There is something. There's some truth. There's some nugget of something possibly you need to hear. The wise person doesn't need to be right. The wise person doesn't need to attack. The wise person doesn't have to bring you down or demonize you or go get everyone else against you. The wise person just hears, thinks for themselves, intellectually is not lazy, pursues facts. If it's something I really need an answer on, I'm going to pursue more facts because your view is not going to be my view. My view is going to be my view based on actually thinking and reasoning. Amen? And the wise person listens. Doesn't immediately get defensive. Amen? So folks, we would be wise to be wiser. Last two things, and I'm going to be quick with these. The troublemaker. We won't read the text. I don't have time. I'll let you read it on your own. The mark of this person is in constant conflict. Folks, if a person has drama, and they always have drama, and they always have conflict, they're always talking bad about somebody. Conflict. Troublemaker. Right? Your interaction with someone shouldn't always be drama and problems and bad talking other people. That person is a troublemaker. And you know what you do? You say, I don't want nothing to do with that. That's what you do. Like this, listen, this is the wisest thing in the world that I've ever been told and it's true. If a person will talk bad about somebody else in front of you, what are they saying about you when they're gone? Right? We've heard this our entire life and it's true. If they'll say it about somebody else to you, they will say something about you to somebody else. The troublemaker is a troublemaker. It's an unwise person. They seek conflict. They want it. They pursue it. And this is in churches too, right? When you see that person, you have every right to correct them, but you certainly have every right to walk away. And I'm not going to be a part of that. When you see a habitual pattern of trouble, I need conflict in my life, you walk away from that person. Or you identify in your heart, this person's foolish. Whatever's coming out of your mouth, I'm likely not going to believe it totally. Even if they're true. Like, you're just a person that likes conflict. You like trouble. You like to cause trouble. It's true. Proverbs says that's an unwise person. They seek out conflict. One can usually be spotted by corrupt mouths and produce deceptive omissions, false truths into it. So here's the deal. A person like this, there may be a little glimmer of truth in what they say. And then there's like other things that have nothing to do with the story. Nothing to do with truth. In fact, here's the deal. Assumptions. One of the biggest problems we have is we make assumptions. Assume nothing. Do you have an assumption? Ask somebody. Don't just assume. Because your assumptions aren't fact. Your assumptions are your assumptions. Right? You can look at people. You can judge body language. You can all. But that's still all assumption. Amen? So don't be a person that just runs with my assumption as truth. Assumptions are assumptions. And sometimes people that are troublemakers, listen, there may be something true in what they're saying, but there could be like massive other things that aren't true. It's conducted. And listen, troublemakers, I'm going to tell you this right now. They fish you out. They'll share a little bit with you. They'll share something to see. They're crafty. They'll look at you and let me see how you're going to react. If you're like, I don't want nothing to do with this, guess who they're not going to talk about anymore? You. But then they'll come to the next person. Let me fish this out. I'm looking for something that you're upset about, and I'm going to fish it out of you. And once I get that, I'm going to attack, right? Or you're a person that likes this. Okay, now I'm just going to unfold all the troublemakers. They fish out the who's the person that I can be this way with. And how much can I fill them with? Maybe one thing's true, but there's like 15 other things not true. And I'm looking, I'm shifting, I'm figuring you out. And I'm going to look for the thing you're unhappy with. I'm going to look for the thing that you're disgusted with. I'm going to look for the thing that you can get you excited about. That's called a troublemaker. Be wise. When you see a troublemaker, you say, hey, stop. Like, not with me, brother. Or like, hey, we got a problem. This person's a troublemaker. Tell somebody, right? This is true. And it happens in churches. I just experienced it at this church. All right? Troublemakers. Look at them. Fish. If they're coming and they're trying to fish out of you, what are you upset about? They're troubles. They want trouble. They want to create conflict. That's not a place of God's people, and it's unwise. It's an unwise person, and they probably have conflict in their entire life. They like this stuff. You shouldn't like this kind of stuff. Amen? Final thing, last thing I'll say, is the sluggard. Anybody see the child who sued his parents? Right? Was a 30-year-old sued his parents? I don't know the full story, so I'm not going to comment too much, but wow. What's wrong with our society, man? The sluggard is not a self-starter with initiative, with internal motivation to do their work. They do not find joy in hard work. The sluggard is full of excuses, blames others for their difficult situations versus working hard to move forward. Does not usually have long-term plans and oftentimes looks for others to do things for them. Sluggard. So some of us are foolish because we're sluggers. I'm a believer in hard work, and I'm a believer you're going to get where you're going to get because of you, no matter what your circumstance is, you can better yourself if you have the right attitude and you change things. You can't, like, what are you going to do? What's the point of talking about how hard your life is? Like, it can't change anything for you, right? So change your life for you. You make the decision. I'm going to be different. I'm going to make plans. I'm going to work hard. A sluggard, right? They're not going to work. They probably find themselves in all these categories of unwise because they're just bored and they don't got to get up and go to work the next day. They found somebody to mooch on, right? There are sluggards. There just are. And of course, God's word says, you don't work, you don't eat. There's no obligation for the church to take care of a sluggard. That's true. Amen? So folks, as we leave this sermon, the band comes up. I know this is not the most riveting, woohoo, salvation sermon, right? No. But man, this is real stuff. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be living differently? Do you want to have a positive outlook? Do you want to be positive for people in your life? We need to be wise people. And guys, I encourage you as a church, man, identify the mockers. Identify the troubled people, troublemakers. Identify if you're gullible. Identify, be self-aware. Do I listen to anybody? Can anybody speak into my life? Will I listen to anything? This is foolish behavior. And if we want to be wise, we have to stop being impulsive. We have to say, God, change me. From birth, you have natural tendencies that are going to make you act a certain way. But wise people say, okay, even if I want to act this way, I'm not going to act this way. I'm going to think wiser in how to handle situations. Amen? That's what wise people do. They think. They consider. They don't just impulsively do things. Amen? So I encourage you to pursue wisdom and being a wise person. We're going to have folks up here to pray for you. I will be here praying for you if you would like to come up. But at the end of the day, man, we need to be wise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I know we're not in a most encouraging sermon today. But God, I know that, man, some of us, if we're honest, we have some areas of foolishness in our hearts. We know some friends. We spend some time with some people who are foolish, and we know this. Father, let us act differently. Let us think differently. Let us be aware of these things. Let's be mindful of the difference between a wise person and a foolish person. God, this is your word. It's not Ben's word. This is your word. Let us choose to be different, God, so that we can be wise, so that we can better fear your name and be in all of you. Because of your word, be different. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.